A good poem gains from being read again and again and doesn't need to mean the same thing in every reading or to every reader. It's language crafted with a heightened attention to detail and an awareness of its music. Jane Hirschfield is one of America's most acclaimed poets. She's on Maui to read from her work and talk about it at a Merwin Conservancy Green Room event this weekend. And she's on the line with us this morning. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
My pleasure.
I've been reading through your work and just, you know, how when you read a poet's work, certain phrases kind of jump out at you. But I've also noticed that as I go back to something I've read 20 minutes earlier, it resonates a little differently. That's okay, isn't it?
Well, it's more than okay. Every time you read a poem, you're a slightly different person.
That's true. Yeah, good point. A lot of people, I mean, in some ways, poetry seems to me one of the less understood of the arts, and a lot of people are hesitant to delve into it. You've addressed that in some of your work, haven't you?
Well, in my books about poetry, the most recent one is 10 Windows, I try to unlock the keys, and one of the unlocking the keys is to get rid of the sense that a poetry is, in fact, a puzzle that has a correct answer.
Yeah.
It isn't.
Yeah.
Poems face in many, many different directions, and any response you have to one when you read it is actually the correct response.
Yeah. But that's not universally understood, is it, Jane?
No, and I think people get frightened of poems, but really, if a person hasn't been reading poetry much and wants to start, just read it as if it was normal sentences and hear it with mm-hmm. your listening ear, with your listening heart. A poem is the inner murmur of one person's thoughts and feeling and images made available to others.
And as we look at our own inner murmurings, we often speak to ourselves in what you could call poetic language because we understand it. It's us talking, right?
Well, yes. Everybody dreams and everybody creates language which could be a poem if they wanted it to be.
I wish more people knew that, but that's something you're going to be talking about with people on Maui this weekend, yeah?
Yeah, mostly what I'm doing, since it's a Merwin Conservancy reading, which has an ecological background to it.
Sure.
I'm going to be reading a lot of poems which speak to our relationship with the natural world, our deeply imperiled, permeable, glorious, ecstatic relationship with the world that the human world touches.
There's a line from one of your poems. I just sort of jotted down a few lines that for one reason or other jumped out at me. And one of them is, I'll just read it, the way a brown pelican runs out of anchovy glitter at dark fall. Here's what I liked about that line, the use of dark fall rather than nightfall, nightfall being the more obvious word, dark fall being the more expressive word, yeah?
Yeah, and to say something in a way that it isn't always said wakes up the inner heart, spirit, listener, psyche, mm-hmm. That the language of poetry is a little unusual is one way that what it's asking for is a heightened attention and a broader attention, the attention of the heart, the attention of the mind, the attention of the spirit. And just changing one word, and thank you for noticing that, is enough to be a kind of bell. I don't know if you can hear this. I'm going to try. There's this lovely bell right next to the borrowed phone I'm using. I'm going to try to ring it for you.
Okay. That is some bell.
Isn't that beautiful? It's a small Japanese temple bell, and when I walked into the room and saw it, I couldn't help but ring it, and so now I've done it for your listeners.
It sounded almost electronic, but it wasn't. It was
No, it's a beautiful brass bull bell. And that, the effect of that, depending on how it came across on the air, is the effect we want poems to have in people's lives.
Well, it jangled our ears, I'll tell you that.
Well, jangled, it was a little richer than that in person.
I imagine.
Maybe I held the phone too
close. But you know, it passed through several electronic media, so you have to expect a certain amount of degradation. One of the things that I think about poem, I'm going back to a conversation I had with a journalist many years ago who just flat out said to my shock, I don't understand poetry, I don't get it. And I had, 30 seconds to try to sell poetry to him. And what I said was, when there's something that you find really difficult to understand, chances are there's a poem that can help you understand it. And I'm talking about epical events in life, things that are just defy our understanding. You think that's fair?
I think that is the very heart of what poems mean for me. Poems are the way that you can face into what is so unnavigable and complicated and many direction facing that there's almost no way to stand in its presence and allow the world to go forward except through poetry. That's what art does for us. Art is the way that we can address the unsolvable problem and feel for a moment, not that it's necessarily solved, but that we're able to go forward.
Maybe we're a little less helpless, yeah?
Yeah, and we're a little more accompanied, because one of the subliminal experiences of reading a poem that speaks to your own circumstance is you know that someone else has been there and survived it, been able to write about it.
Which is, in the broader sense, is the power of art.
Yes,
right?
Exactly
the
so.
Catharsis, a kind of cleansing, a kind of, and comfort at the same time.
Mm-hmm. A way to face the unfaceable and say, yes, this too is a part of my life.
And yet, whenever you use the word comfort about a work of art, it implies complacency and, stagnancy. But it's not. There's another kind of comfort that comes from being part of a community, doesn't there?
That's right. And poems are, if anything, anti-complacent. They don't let you settle on. Sentimentality is the easy out.
Yeah.
Poetry is the accurate way through. Not out, but through. So that you fill your life with more intensity, with more ability to be permeable to what's actually happening and awake to what's actually happening. It's not a hypnosis. It's a call to presence, a summoning.
It's kind of what happens after the hypnosis is over, right? When the hypnotist snaps his fingers and says, okay, wake up.
Right, exactly. And our whole culture, so much of mass media is about a kind of hypnotic trance, about a fall into a shared narrative or an amusing story or things that put us to sleep and make us maybe more comfortable but less human.
The comfort of cliches, Jane.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking the time. It was really great to talk to you. I appreciate
it. My great pleasure. Thank you.
Poet Jane Hirschfield will speak this Saturday at the next installment of The Green Room, an environmental and literary salon series on Maui, sponsored by the Merwin Conservancy. It's in the McCoy Theater at the Maui Arts and Cultural Center. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. And Jane Hirschfield's most recent 8th book of poetry is The Beauty, published by Alfred Knopf.